Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, a day that as many days that you have created for us, Lord, to worship thee. We set aside this time, and for each one of us here, we're thankful, Lord, that you've given us safety to come. And Lord, we just pray now for our service that as we sing praises and teaching of the Word, we just pray, Father, that we have a heart of worship, that we come today with a heart of gratitude and honor for our Lord Jesus Christ and what He done on the cross for us. Lord, we're still thankful that we live in a country that gives us this freedom. And we pray for our country. We pray that our country will turn their hearts back to you. But Lord, we just pray now for this service. We ask you to bless this service. And we pray, Lord, that everything that we do today, Lord, we do it to please you. And we commit this service to thee. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, I'd like to welcome you here this morning. It's a new year. So welcome to our first Sunday morning worship service of 2022. So it's good to see each of you here today. I want to thank you for coming and want to welcome our live stream attenders as well. If you're out there, thank you for joining us. And let's give them a greeting again. Let's just say Happy New Year and God bless you. Okay, ready? On the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Happy New Year and God bless you. All right, thank you for joining us. For our announcements, want to invite you to our first Sunday evening service of the new year. So come tonight, 6:30 for our evening service, and start off the new year with a prayer meeting. We're going to have prayer meeting Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I hope you can join us either in person or on the phone. Planning to continue with evangelism on Thursdays at 3:30. Meeting here at the church, going out into our community around the church. And then looking ahead on our church calendar here, January 13th is an elders meeting. January 21st, that's a Friday, we are hosting the Ohio Bible Fellowship Conference. That's just going to be a one-day conference during the day. And the speakers are Frank and Sherry DeBagno. They served as missionaries to Italy for 36 years. And they are planning to be with us for the conference and then also staying over for the weekend for ministry here at our church. Then the next day, January 22nd, we're planning a men's breakfast with Frank DeBagno. He'll be speaking to the men for that. And then we're also planning a ladies' luncheon for the church that Saturday. That'll be at the home of Debbie Lewis. And so all the ladies are invited there, and Sherry will be speaking to the ladies. And then on Sunday, January 23rd, Frank DeBagno will be preaching in all of our services that Sunday. So we're looking forward to their ministry. And if you'd like to know more about them, there's a poster there on the bulletin board. It gives some more of their history and where they're from. And so we can look forward to that. Then January 30th is our annual congregational meeting. It's planned for that. And so if you do have report information that you usually submit, please remember to do that and get that to me. Again, with the devotionals, I hope you have a plan to read the Bible in 2022. It's always good to make that a goal at least. And so the feature devotional will be a help to you. There's other plans that are available. There's one that's printed off on some green cardstock there. It's a five-day plan. It'll take you through the Bible in 2022 as well. Also, I'd like to update the church directory in 2022. And so if you have changes or pictures, you'd like to be in that, if you could let me know, there's a form you could fill out, give that back to me. But we would like to try to do that again this year. All right, we are going to sing now. We're going to sing a handout hymn, so I trust you have that. We're going to sing Lamb of Glory on the handout. Anybody not have the handout? Raise your hand if you need a handout for Lamb of Glory. Okay? John needs one. Do any of you have one there? I think I grabbed some more. But what do I do with them? Got one. Anybody else need one? Raise your hand. Okay, we're going to sing Lamb of Glory.
Scripture reading. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to read verses 24 through 31. And again, it is on the back of your bulletin, if you please. You may stand for the reading of His Word. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came.
The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see into his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.
And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you.
Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.
And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God.
Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book.
These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name.
God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us, We especially praise you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we've just read of, and that even today we celebrate as we gather together on the first day of the week. We thank you for the promise of life eternal. We thank you for the comfort that brings us even now and for the future. And we come to you today through Jesus Christ, through the way that he has opened up to us. And Father, we come asking for your grace and for your help. We pray, Lord, for this congregation, and you know the needs that are here and those that are suffering, those that are sick, those traveling today. We pray that you'd watch over them and be near to them. Lord, we pray for the needs of our hearts and our minds. We pray that you would use the scripture this morning to speak to us, to encourage us, and to help us to believe and lay hold of the truth that we have before us. Our Father, we pray for our church, this local assembly, Morrow Bible Church. We pray that you would bring your blessing. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be faithful as your people. We pray that you would help us all to see the importance that we have on the church here, just as individual Christians serving together here. And we pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, use this work. Lord, we know that we cannot accomplish anything without you. And so we pray that you would use the ministry of your word and the ministry that each believer has to one another. We pray that we would grow and that we would be a light here in this community. And pray that the gospel would go forth here. Father, we come to worship you, and we thank you for giving us our lives today and the provision that we need, food and shelter. And we come to give you back a portion of what you've given to us through our finances, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. And we pray that these gifts would be acceptable in your sight. May our hearts be truly grateful and filled with gratitude even this morning. Lord, we think of our missionaries and we pray for their work around the world. Lord, we pray for open doors of witness for them. Help them to be bold in giving the gospel. And we pray, Lord, for wisdom for them, as many of them have to deal with these new issues because of COVID. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them in that. Lord, we pray for faithfulness for them. We pray that you would bring them fruit for their labors. And we pray that you would just encourage them even right now. Lord, we're also burdened for our community, this mission field you placed us in. And we pray, Lord, that the gospel would go forth. We pray that you would use us, if you'd be pleased to. And we pray that we would see souls come to know Jesus Christ, even this year. Our Father, we lift up our country and we pray, Lord, for our President Joe Biden. We ask that you would give him wisdom, that you would save him, and just guide his hand, we pray. We thank you for the freedoms that we've had. We pray that you would preserve these and help us to see the blessings that we've had here and to praise you for them. We lift up our law enforcement, our military, and our first responders. We thank you for what they do, pray for their protection, for their salvation, and we thank you for all that we enjoy here in this country. Help us not to take it for granted. We praise you for what we have here. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you, and we pray that we truly would glorify you from our hearts this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've asked Isaac Wiley to come, and I've assigned him a reading, which is a report from our missionaries, the Kilmers. So he's going to come and read that for us.
All right. Dear friends, busy hardly begins to describe the last 2 months, but we are thankful for the ongoing opportunities. The Bible Institute graduation went well, and we are thankful for the attitude Anthony has towards has toward ministry. We will be teaching at a school and continuing to help his pastor and minister in his church. He has faithfully served there for several years already. His job is just a means of supporting himself and his work for the Lord. We continue with our church services, Bible studies, discipleship, and outreach ministries. Thank you to all who give to help us in our work for the Lord. We are blessed to have people like you standing with us and keeping our ministry to the Zulu people going. A special thanks to all who gave special gifts. It is an added encouragement to us. A very special thanks to all who pray for us. This is our God's work, and without his help and our power, there will be no lasting fruit. Thank you for praying for us, our people, and those we minister to in various ways. We currently have a project going that has taken a lot of time. The house where we meet is too small for COVID regulations, and so we are expanding the porch to allow more people to sit without being right on top of each other. This has brought some opportunities to witness. Various children and teens come to help, hoping for a little cash or a treat like an apple, banana, or some cookies. They get something according to how they help. A 14-year-old boy named Life came the other day. He attends a Zionist church with his parents. This is African Zionism, not Jewish Zionism. Jewish Zionism is the view that Jews have a right to the land of Israel. And there are those here who believe that, even though our South African government has sided with the Palestinians against Israel. However, South Africa Zionism takes its name from Zion, Illinois, from where a missionary was sent in the early 1900s to South Africa. He believed and taught that people should worship according to their culture. That idea sounds good to a lot of people, but it is dangerous, because when we worship God our way, punishment comes. I won't write an expose about it here, but study what happened to those in the Bible who tried to worship God their way. Cain and Abel, the Israelites at the golden calf, Elijah and the false prophets on Mount Carmel, David and Uzzah when bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, Ananias and Sapphira, also the Corinthians, and an improper use of the Lord's table. It doesn't matter what culture we are in when it comes worshiping God. We must consider the Bible first and cultural concepts after that. Yes, there will be some cultural differences in worship from place to place around the world, but it won't be as diverse as some people think it might be when biblical principles are followed. When the missionary departed back to America after being there only 2 years, his concept took off. There are thousands of church groups in South Africa today that trace their roots back to this Zionism, which blends Christianity with ancestor worship. Sadly, they don't want a change mind, heart, or life. There is not a repent belief, Luke 13:3. I had a good chance to chat with Life and explain the gospel. Although he grew up going to a Zionist church, he knew nothing about salvation, forgiveness, heaven, or hell. Last Sunday, Peace and I went out to preach with a megaphone. After preaching, we visited a house where some family members were outside. I handed the man a gospel tract, and he invited us in, even though he clearly had a bit too much to drink. He said he was so happy to have us come, and any time we pass, we must stop in. He told me they are Zionists. I asked him if that means they believe in Jesus, but also follow their dead ancestors. This man named Pastor Paswa agreed. Peace asked if he could read a verse to him. He got angry and emphatically said, "No, I don't want to change my mind. I am right. This is my house. I don't want to change my mind. Take your shoes and get out." And so we did. Here is a cultural difference from many Western homes. Most Zulu people take their shoes off when entering the house. So when you leave, you put your shoes on and then go. Praise number one. We have fully recovered from COVID. Two, for continued safety. Three, for many opportunities to give out the gospel. Four, for our Bible Institute students who had a successful year in both learning and serving. Prayer request number one, for our Christmas Day service to go well and for the Lord to touch hearts and minds with His truth. Number two, for Pastor Paswa and Life to get saved, along with many others we witnessed to personally or with the megaphone. Number three, please remember to pray for us at 11:11 as well as at your regular prayer times. May God's grace keep you strong for him, Yathena, it is us, Uncle Don and Auntie Karen.
All right, thank you very much, Isaac. Let's take our hymnals now and turn to 175, Standing on the Promises, 175. And then just for our special, we're going to have an impromptu men's choir. And so that just means as many men as we can are going to come up, and we're going to be singing a special. It's going to be 129 at the cross, so you probably will know that. But first, all of us are going to sing. And then on that last chorus, I'm going to ask as many men as we can to go ahead and come on up here to the platform. And we're going to have an impromptu men's choir. Okay, so that's your warning, men. As many as we can. But let's first turn to 175 and stand as we sing Standing on the Promises.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, men. You're now part of the impromptu men's choir at Morrow Bible Church. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We are still going to try to complete the Gospel of John here. And so we just got to just one more chapter to complete, chapter 21. But we have this passage before us, before we get there. And where we were was just after the resurrection. And Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. The empty tomb had been discovered here. Later that same Sunday night, the 10 disciples were gathered in a room, still huddled in fear, when Jesus appeared to them and he comforted them. And he says, "Peace be unto you." And then he gave them the Great Commission. And he told them about their need for the Holy Spirit in order to carry out that commission and the privilege that they had of giving that and what God would do as they gave the gospel. But there was one who was not there. There was one disciple missing that Sunday evening, and that was Thomas. And we don't know why he was missing. We can only speculate. But we see here in this passage that 1 week later, Jesus comes again to the 11 for Thomas's benefit. And we see the Lord reveal himself to Thomas in Thomas's confession of faith. We see Thomas and his doubt. You know, we have the famous concept of doubting Thomas, and he did doubt here. Thomas did not have a complete understanding of what Jesus was doing, and we see that in his questions and his doubts. But this passage is really not primarily about Thomas. It's about the Lord being revealed to Thomas. And so we see here Jesus yet again revealing himself, and I want us to see how he does this. The first way that Jesus reveals himself is that Jesus shows his love. Jesus reveals his love to Thomas. Notice verse 24 again, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." Jesus loves. We see the denials of Thomas. Thomas was not there the week previous when Jesus had appeared to the disciples, but Thomas had heard their testimony. Here we have a record of that. "The disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." That word "said," the form of the word there, indicates a repeated speaking. The disciples were telling this to Thomas over and over again, perhaps several times throughout that week. They probably reported all that had been seen and heard, including the finding of the women, the empty tomb seen by Peter and John. But we see here that Thomas denied their testimony. We're accustomed to calling Thomas doubting Thomas, but he really also denied the testimony from his fellow disciples. He didn't accept that. And I want us to see the foolishness of that. Here were 10 of his most trusted friends and associates, and he will not accept their testimony. He knew their character well, and yet he disregards their testimony. He denies that. It makes no sense. But we see that Jesus still comes to Thomas in spite of those denials. And then notice the demands of Thomas. He says, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas makes some demands. He sets his own terms. He makes the conditions. And without those being met, he will most certainly not believe. Think about a kidnapper. Someone who takes somebody else hostage and makes his demands of payment in order to release the prisoner. Thomas is demanding here. And many are like Thomas in that regard today. They're making their demands. What they would need in order for them to accept and to believe. And what they're doing is they're putting themselves in that position of authority. They're putting themselves above what God has already given and demanding that. So we see Thomas's denials and his demands. But what stands out even more than Thomas's problems is the love of Jesus. Jesus reveals his love. You know, Jesus had just appeared to this group a week previous. And now he appears once again. Why does he do the same thing again? For Thomas. He comes back for Thomas. He reaches out in his love to put Thomas in the place where all the other disciples already were. He loves in spite of the demands and the denials of Thomas. You know, there's many people that are like Thomas today. There's doubters today. But not all doubters are the same. Thomas seems to be an honest doubter. Thomas is one who is honestly asking for help, it seems. There are people like that. But there are also dishonest doubters. And these would be the people that say that they cannot accept Jesus, they cannot accept the Bible. But the reality is, in their hearts and minds, they don't like what the Bible says. They're dishonest doubters. They don't like what the Bible says about fornication. What the Bible says about homosexuality. What the Bible says about pornography, addictions. And so they say they can't believe. There are people like that. People like that today. But what we see here with this picture of Thomas, you could call him an honest doubter. But what does God do for a man like Thomas? He loves Thomas. He helps Thomas. And it seems from this passage we could say that even today, for the man or the woman or the boy or the girl who is honestly having trouble believing and accepting the Bible, that God will help that person. God will help that person. He helped Thomas. And for that other kind of doubter, that dishonest doubter perhaps, what they need to do is to repent of their sins. That person needs to picture themselves before the judge of all men. If you're standing there before a holy and a righteous God to give an account for your life, what will you do? What will you say when God asks you to give an account for why you have broken His holy and just laws? How will you answer that? How will a person answer that? Everybody needs to think of themselves in that position. How will you stand before a holy and righteous judge who will evaluate your life? The Lord Jesus Christ loves those people, loves all men, loves those who are just like Thomas today. The Lord is a Lord who loves sinners. He reveals His love to them here. I want you to also notice the the priority that Jesus seems to have for the assembly of His disciples. You know, Jesus could have come to Thomas when he was alone. He could have come when Thomas was at his own house, in his own room, in private meditation and thinking. He could have appeared to Thomas right then and helped him. But when did Jesus choose to come and to help Thomas? He chose to come when the disciples were all gathered together. He chose to come the week previous when the disciples were all gathered together. And I think that should teach us something about the priority that Jesus has for the assembly of the believers. We need to not forsake our assembly. When we assemble together, we need to expect the Lord to meet with us and to help us. And we need to expect that when we come, we will meet the Lord and we will grow and we will be helped because we've come together with the disciples. We may not all be on the same page. We may not all be on the same level spiritually. These disciples were certainly not all on the same level together. But they came together and the Lord in His love helped them and He met with them. Jesus loves. And then notice secondly, Jesus proves. In His love, He proves things to Thomas. He proves His knowledge and power. Notice verse 26. And after 8 days again, His disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith He to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Jesus proves His knowledge and power. Notice Jesus knew exactly when to come back. He knew they would be assembled and when Thomas would be there. Did someone tell that to Jesus? No, Jesus knew that. Jesus knows where we are. He has no trouble tracking us down. Jesus proved His power by appearing there in that room, the doors being shut, the doors being locked. He came and appeared right there in that room with them. Jesus showed His knowledge as He spoke to Thomas. These words to Thomas in verse 27. "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side." Boy, that sounds really familiar, doesn't it? Because those were the same things that Thomas had just said. Thomas had just said that's what he needed to do. And Jesus comes, says, "Do it, Thomas. Here you go." How did Jesus know that? Well, Jesus knew what Thomas said. I think those words that were spoken by Jesus should have brought conviction to Thomas's heart, that Jesus knew his own words. You know, increasingly it's becoming more and more troublesome to realize how much, you know, the government knows about us. And the big tech companies know about us. They track so much information about us. But how much more does God know about us? God doesn't need technology to know about us. He knows where we are. He knows the words we say, even the doubt that we express. And here we see Jesus proving that to Thomas, saying, "I know this about you, Thomas." And of course, Jesus also proves His resurrection. Jesus is risen from the dead. He invited Thomas to touch Him and feel His resurrected body and to see that it truly was Jesus, the same one that had been crucified on a cross, that had His side pierced with that sword by the Roman soldier. Thomas was to be a witness just as much as the others were. They all had this firsthand knowledge of the resurrection and they were able now to testify it to others. You know, we look at this passage, we can see that our faith in the resurrection can be strengthened. Here were these disciples, and they were surprised at the resurrection. They were not expecting this to happen. Here was Thomas. He was not one that readily accepted the reality of the resurrection, and yet as Jesus appeared to him, we see that Thomas, even one who was skeptical about the resurrection, Thomas accepted it. And we ought to accept it as well. And then we see Jesus proving his deity. We see this confession that Thomas gave. It's one of the clearest expressions of the deity of Christ in the Bible. Notice verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas recognized the point. Thomas understood what this appearance of Jesus said to everybody. It said that Jesus is God. He rose from the dead. He is God. Thomas accepted that. You know, there's one, perhaps, there are many that are in a place like Thomas even today. And this passage, I believe, shows that person what they need to do and what God's will for them is. Is there a doubter? Is there one who is uncertain about the truth of God's word? Here is God's will. Verse 27, Jesus says to Thomas, Be not faithless, but believing. That is God's will for the one who is like Thomas. Be not faithless, but believing. Accept the truth laid out here. Accept what Jesus is proving here in this passage. The knowledge of God of every part of your life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The deity of Christ. God does not want you to be in a place of indecision about these things. Be not faithless, but believing. That is God's will for you. Be not faithless, but believing. And see here that you need to make this personal. Thomas, he made this personal. We see this personal confession. He says, My Lord and my God. He was saying that because he now believed this. It was his personal belief. You know, you're not a Christian because you attend the church or because you're part of a Christian family. The Scripture tells us that you need to have personal faith. It needs to be from your own heart and life. Thomas now claimed Jesus as his personal master, his Lord, and his God. He wasn't just accepting the facts, although he did that. He was making this confession his own. Is that something that you've done? Have you made this confession personal in your own heart and life? Some of you say, yes, I have. I know I've done that. Some of you might say, I'm not sure. You need to make it personal. It needs to be personal from your own heart and life. Jesus proves these things for us so that we can believe. And then finally, notice that Jesus teaches. Jesus continues to reveal himself to Thomas by teaching him truth. Thomas has believed here, but Jesus knows there will come a time when he ascends to heaven and people will not have the tangible evidence that Thomas had. What about these people? What about people like us today? That's what Jesus is teaching Thomas about. He's teaching Thomas about people in this age. What does he teach him here? These non-seeing believers. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The blessedness of people like us today, non-seeing believers. Sometimes we think it would have been wonderful if we could see Jesus, if we could actually be like Thomas and see the wounds. But Jesus has to correct Thomas, has to help him. You know, the people that are like us today that believe even though we cannot see Jesus are blessed. Just as much blessed as Thomas was. The blessedness of non-seeing believers. We are blessed. We have God's favor and are accepted by God, even though we have not seen Jesus in the flesh. No Christian today should think they're missing out because they've never seen the Lord. We're not second-class Christians. You know, there's many today that really insist upon seeing a vision or seeing a dream that God would give and having that experience. You know, this verse says, if you've never had that, it's okay. It's okay. You can still have God's favor even if you've never seen a vision of the Lord. You can still be blessed. You know, the Christian movie industry is convinced that films that portray Christ will reach thousands, and their belief is, blessed are they who have seen an actor portray Christ on a screen. And there have been people that have been reached by those films. But this verse teaches us that our sight is not the source of our blessing in the Lord. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. But what's the basis? Does that mean the non-seeing believer has no basis for their faith? No, there is a basis. It's not the experience that Thomas had. It's the record of Thomas' experience. Faith comes not by seeing, but by hearing, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what John explains here in verses 30 and 31. The basis of our faith, part of which is the Gospel of John. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. We see here that there was a selection when it comes to the Gospel of John, a selection made for the Scriptures. Once when my daughter Eva was in the first grade, she had to make a poster about her life. And remember, she had to come up with pictures that would fit on this poster about her life. In first grade, she was 7 years old. And even at that time, she had a lot of pictures to choose from of her life. And she would probably say not as many as other children in the family. But even still, more than could fit on a poster. And so she had to make a selection of just one picture for each year, I think it was, of her life there in the first grade. And that's similar to what John says he did when it came to the Gospel of John. There were many other signs Jesus did. Jesus was doing many things that sent a message about who he is, signs. And John says he just took a selection of those. And he recorded those in his gospel. John chose only a few. He made a selection of the Scriptures. And we see the purpose of the Scriptures here in verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Many people write books for entertainment. They write stories. Many people write books to inform, to write textbooks, for example, to teach students. But John's gospel here, the Scriptures, were written for belief. They were written so that we might believe Jesus. This is for evangelism, so that people might believe. That's why this book was written. It's one of the reasons why we've been giving out Gospels of John in our gospel packages. This is the purpose of this book, for people to believe. Even those who have already believed will find that their faith is confirmed and strengthened more and more by the signs that are recorded here in the Scriptures. And then notice the person of the Scriptures here. There's a content to faith. What must we believe? Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. For many people, the question in their minds was not who is Jesus, but who is the Christ? people of Jesus' day were wondering, who is the Christ? Who is Messiah? And they, through Jesus' ministry, came to see that Jesus is the Christ. He's the promised one. He's the one who would fulfill the covenants and promises to the patriarchs and David. He would be the one who comes and delivers Israel and rules from Jerusalem. You know, Jesus in his ministry did not often talk about the political implications, and he avoided those because those are for his second coming and not for his first coming. But he revealed enough for us to know that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And then we must believe that he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. This is not a biological idea, but this phrase, the Son of God, teaches us about the divine nature that is shared by the Father and the Son. It teaches us that Jesus is God. We can see from the Gospel of John that he does share that divine nature with God. And then notice the benefit of Scripture. John points out to us, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. The benefit of Scripture, life. You know, men will travel and take great risks for some benefit that they see that could be gained by what they do. Think about the people in the 1800s that went out west because they heard there was gold out there. They left everything and they went because there was gold. And some of them found gold, some of them didn't find gold. Think about the athletes that we see and the amount of training and work that they put into that sport in order to win, in order to get the prize. Think about the politicians, the amount of work that they put into a campaign for the chance at winning a political office. But there's no greater benefit for us in this life than spiritual and eternal life. That's what this verse teaches us here. There's a benefit that comes from the Scripture. It's life. It's eternal life. Eternal life is found in believing Jesus Christ. The very moment of believing, that life is imparted forever. But for the people today who continue in their doubt and their denial and their demands, they do not have life. Those people don't have life. They will never see heaven, only hell forever. There's a benefit of the Scriptures, of this gospel. It's life through his name. Will you read this gospel for yourself? Some of you already have. Will you read it again? Will you read one chapter a day? Will you read this gospel with your family? Perhaps you could take this gospel and just read it with a neighbor, with a coworker. Let's not just let our Bibles collect dust on a shelf. We see here the purpose of this gospel, of the Bible, is for people to believe on Jesus Christ. How much we need to use it. We need to use it for ourselves to strengthen our own faith. We need to share it with other people. We need to have children learn to read so that they can read the Bible. We need to continue to preach and share the word because others need to hear that they can have life through his name. Maybe you're after other benefits in this life, maybe financial or physical benefits in some way, but you've completely overlooked the spiritual and the eternal life that can be yours. You've overlooked it. Why not receive it? Why not receive life by believing in Jesus Christ? Why not? You ought to. Don't put it off another day. Don't try to find life in some other way. This is the way. It's life through His name, Jesus Christ. Perhaps today may be the day of that believing. We see Jesus revealed here to Thomas. Jesus loves, in spite of denials and demands. Jesus proves His knowledge and power, His resurrection. And then Jesus teaches. He teaches with us in mind. He wants us to have life through His name. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that we have Your Word. We thank You that You hold out for us here this offer of life. Oh Lord, we thank You. We may lack many things in this life, but if we have Christ, we are set for eternity. Oh Lord, we pray for those who do not have this life yet. We pray that they would see the prize that can be had through knowing Jesus Christ and believing on Him personally. We thank You and we praise You for what You did. Even Your love here to Thomas. We thank You for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 228 before we come to the Lord's table here. My faith has found a resting place. Number 228, let's all stand as we sing. Number 228.
Thank you.